Matthew chapter 6, looking at verses 16 through 18. We consider now the third illustration given by Jesus and how we should conduct ourselves in this matter of personal righteousness. Remember, the general principle was laid down back in verse 1. Then he illustrated it, our relationship with others, doing good to others, giving unto others, our relationship with God when it comes to prayer. This third one is really our relationship to ourselves. It's really talking about personal discipline, the kind of discipline we need to have in our life. So in these three illustrations, we have deeds, devotion, and discipline. This whole question of fasting, really not considered much in our day and time. Has it ever occurred to you why many do not fast in our day and time? Does it seem like it's been de-emphasized by our preachers and teachers and really kind of ignored? Jesus is concerned about all of these things. And really the aspect of fasting, he's talking more about the motive like he had with the other, not to do it to be seen of others. But we're going to stretch it out. We're going to look at this subject in a more general manner. Just what does the Bible have to say about this matter of fasting? Jesus said in chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, "Moreover, when ye fast, he expects us to do it, doesn't he? Didn't say if you fast, he says when you fast. Be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And my Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." All right, let's think about this tonight. If you want to take notes, first of all, let's think about the principle of fasting. There are three ways we can look at this. First of all, we can look at fasting according to the law, talking about the law of Moses, the Old Testament. You read about fasting in the Old Testament. What does the Bible say about it? Under the law of Moses, how many fast days did Israel, how many were they supposed to observe? Only one. The Great Day of Atonement was the only time God commanded Israel as a nation to fast for that day. Only once. And later on, the people would appoint certain fast days when they were involved in certain problems or situations. They would call upon the people to fast. But God only commanded it once each year. By the way, I fast every night. Then I get up and I have breakfast. You ever thought about that word, breakfast? Breakfast? Breakfast. You fasted all night, now you get to get up and break your fast and have something to eat. So you're probably like me, you do that every night, don't you? But we're going to talk about going a little bit further than that. We come to the New Testament times, and we find the Pharisees fasting twice a week. Now, only commanded once a year, but they have now got it to twice a week that they would fast. And again, they did this for the most part to be seen of men. They wanted others to know that they were fasting and just think how spiritual these people really are, that they would fast that often. So that's fasting according to the law. Then there's fasting according to the Lord. When you come to the teaching of Jesus, he never really teaches fasting directly. He teaches it indirectly, like we see in our text tonight. He just mentions when you fast. There was a time he was asked about fasting. Go to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 14 and 15. There it says, then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? Jesus and his disciples did not join in with these special extra fast days that they proclaim. Jesus said, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. And we do read about that in the book of Acts, don't we? We read on several occasions where the disciples of Christ would fast and pray. So even in our day and time, that would include us. That there ought to be times when we will fast and seek God's face. So they didn't observe the extra fast days added by the Pharisees. But Jesus said there will be times for fasting after he has left between his first coming and his second coming. Now again, he expects his disciples to fast. When you fast. Now he said, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. Okay? Should we give? Yes. Should we pray? Absolutely. Should we fast? Amen. We should. There should be times when we will fast. Now, I'm going to explain this a little bit later. We're talking about a spiritual fast in seeking the face of God in prayer time. I heard about a woman who told her pastor that she thought fasting was a sin. It's a sin to do that. He said, why? She said, well, it harms the body, and the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we shouldn't do anything that would harm the body. He said, well, ma'am, if that's true, then you're going to die and go to hell. She said, I am not. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm saved. He said, well, that won't do you any good. You're trusting in somebody who's just a sinner like you. Because I read Jesus fasted 40 days. And you said fasting's a sin. I ended that discussion, didn't it? She had to rethink her theology. There's a third thought here. Fasting according to leadership. In the book of Acts, you read sometimes of the leadership in the church calling for a fast. To fast and pray. You see that in the church at Antioch. If you look at Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. It said, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. And it goes on to name them. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, they sent them away. So these were two missionaries that God had called to go on a mission field, missionaries to the Gentiles, and the leadership of that church called upon the church to fast and pray for these missionaries. So it seemed in the early churches, when they were faced with some decisions, they gave themselves to fasting and prayer. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27, Paul is summarizing his ministry. He says, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often. So here's something. The Apostle Paul often would fast and pray during his ministry. That was something that he considered important. He made that a regular part of his spiritual life. As you go down through church history, you see oftentimes where the people of God would practice fasting, praying and fasting. And they saw great value in doing this. That brings us to the second point. Let's think about the purpose of fasting. Why should we do this? Two thoughts here. First of all, fasting to dedicate yourself. We ought to fast to dedicate ourselves. Think about this. Man is a triune being. Man is body, mind, and spirit. And they are all intimately related one to another. They interact very closely. There's no doubt that the body has a bearing upon the activity of the mind and the spirit. The element of fasting must be viewed in this relationship of mind, body, and spirit. In denying the body, we seek to elevate the spirit. Now, I know some people will fast for purely unspiritual reasons. Some will fast to lose weight. I've done that. I've fasted to lose weight. I'm sure most of you have, or some of you have. That has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with your spiritual being. It's just all about the body losing weight. I heard about a pastor and his wife who were invited to dinner by one of the members of the congregation. When they arrived, the member's youngest son was setting the table. They all sat down, and the boy's mother said, son, why didn't you give the pastor a knife and a fork? Well, the boy said, well, I didn't think I needed to. Daddy says he eats like a horse. Horses don't use knives and forks, do they? Maybe it's time for the pastor to fast. Maybe that was the problem. There's nothing wrong with fasting to lose weight, but that's not what we're talking about. Others will fast. They think it's good to clean out the system. I had a cousin that would, once a week, he thought it was good to fast one day just to clean out his digestive system. There's maybe some merit to that, but that's not what we're talking about. Others will fast to protest. You ever heard of a hunger strike? Some will do that. They'll stage a hunger strike. We've known of prisoners doing that and protesting certain things in the prison system. Gandhi was known for that. In protesting the British control of India, he would go on these very long periods of fasting. But we're talking about spiritual fasting. This has to do with being preoccupied with the Lord, seeking His presence, seeking His power in your life. Maybe there's something going on, maybe some difficulty in your life, and you just want to spend some time just seeking God's face in prayer and fasting. Now, sometimes people will get caught up in something whereby eating is just the last thing on their mind. They have a burden for something, and they're overcome by maybe some besetting sin, and they just don't even think to eat. Their mind is on something else. We've all seen this, like a child in the hospital. And that child's mother sits at that bedside. It's a vigil. She's not going to leave that hospital room until that child gets better. You say, well, have you eaten anything? No, I don't want to eat. Have no desire to eat. No appetite. Why? Because they're completely caught up with this that's going on with their child. We've seen that, right? And similar, there may be times in your life where you want to seek God in prayer and fasting, and you want God to do something in your life. Maybe you're praying for your country. You want to see revival. There was times the Israelites were called upon to pray and fast for revival. Don't you think Americans ought to do that? Amen. We should. Now, when we talk about fasting, it's more than just not eating food. It's really the idea of fasting when it comes to the flesh. Just not feeding the flesh at all. If you fast and watch R-rated movies all day, you're defeating the purpose. If you fast and you read trashy novels all day, or get involved in anything that you're just really feeding the flesh, you're defeating the purpose. A real fast not only involves food, but just really dedicating yourself to the things of God during that time period. One thing, be careful what you watch on TV when you're fasting, because there's so many food commercials. Amen. That's just torture, watching all these food commercials and you're not eating. But fasting is just not something we do just for the sake of saying that we fasted. That's what the Pharisees were doing. Don't do it for that reason. So there's fasting to dedicate yourself. And secondly, there's fasting to discipline yourself. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating. Amen. God meant for us to eat. Unless it becomes gluttony. Now, gluttony is a sin. God meant for us to eat to supply fuel for the body. He designed us that way. Yet there are some people that have no control over their fleshly appetites. Their body demands food, and there just seems to be, they don't know how to bring that body under subjection in this case. They become slaves to their fleshly appetites. Write this verse down, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Don't let the flesh dominate, dictate your life. I'll wait till all the amens die down. Fasting's one thing, but there's also moderation in all things, the Bible says. Paul said in Philippians 3:19, he talks about those whose God is their belly, who mind earthly things. Some have a really big God, if you look at the size of their belly. Amen. Amen. Don't make a God of your belly. But fasting, again, it's not only confined to the question of food. It's really an abstinence from anything that will distract you from seeking the Lord and allowing God to speak to your heart and mind. Certain thing. In 1 Corinthians 7:5, Paul told married couples, he said, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and then come together again. So even in marital intimacy, that could be part of the fasting, to set that aside just for a time of dedicating yourself to spiritual matters. The third thing I want you to see is the practice of fasting. Talk about the wrong way to do it. As we've already said, we're not to fast merely for the sake of doing so. It's not to be a mechanical manner. We must never make it the end of itself. That's true of prayer. It's also true of our giving. It's not to be just a matter of rule or ritual, because then we're violating the spiritual teaching that we have in the Scriptures. It's what the Pharisees were doing. They made a big production out of fasting. They wanted everybody to know. I think sometimes they were faking it. Why else would they make themselves look sad and sickly? Because they wanted people to think they were fasting, maybe even when they weren't. So that people would think, you know, just how spiritual, how righteous these people are. And we can be guilty of doing the same thing. So, folks, fasting is a personal matter between you and God. See that? Don't be concerned about what others think. Don't put on a Christian mask to deceive others. You're not deceiving God. Amen. It's like when the song leader said, let's all put on a smile as we sing. I don't like that. Because I try to sing the bass part. You cannot smile and sing the bass part. Right? You get down. You look like you're in pain when you're... So don't tell a bass singer to smile while he's singing. It's just not possible. Amen. I don't know where we get this idea that you're supposed to smile when you sing anyway. I don't know where that came from. What do we equate spirituality with smiling all the time? I'm suspicious of people smiling all the time, aren't you? I think they're up to something. Amen. But no, you can be filled with the Spirit and not be smiling, not be happy. You can be filled with the Spirit and be burdened. Amen. You can be sad. You can be burdened, yet be filled with the Spirit. Hey, Jesus was filled with the Spirit, right? Yet he was called in Isaiah 53:3 a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Solomon said in Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 4, he said, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the sun, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So, just thought I'd throw that in for free. But here's another false way of fasting. And that's when you fast expecting God to reward you in some way. We talked about this with tithing. Some tithe because they expect God to give back extra for what they give in their tithing. I think you can do the same thing with fasting and prayer. That you do this, again, it's a name it, claim it type idea where God is obligated to do something for you since you did this for him. Tell evangelists. Tell people that they can be prosperous if they will do things like this, that God will have to reward them for doing it. By the way, that's all a Ponzi scheme. The only ones getting rich are the ones at the top. Those televangelists, now they're getting rich, but don't get caught up in that. Don't you be sending your tithes and offerings to such things. That's not of God. It's not of God. But the idea of, some will fast wanting a revelation, right? You ever heard of this? If I fast, I'm going to keep fasting until God gives me a revelation. I'm looking for a vision. You know, non-Christians will do that. Non-Christians will undergo a period of fasting, and they will have visions. You go long enough without eating, you'll have a vision. Can you say hallucinations? Do you know Muhammad would fast long periods of time, and he had these visions from Allah. So that's another false idea behind fasting. That's the wrong ways. The right way. What's the right way to do this? I should only fast if I feel led by the Spirit to do so. Again, I said this between you and God. Right? Between you and God. And if you felt led by the Spirit to set aside a day for fasting of the flesh to feast on the Spirit, then you should do so. Let me give you several reasons whereby fasting will help you. You might want to jot these down. I think we're going to have them on the screen. Number one, to strengthen prayer. Write that down, to strengthen prayer. Because fasting is usually linked to prayer, right? James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Do you think a fervent prayer would include fasting? That would be fervent, wouldn't it? You're not messing around when you're going without several meals to focus on praying. Number two, to stifle pride and presumption. Ezekiel 16:49 says this was the iniquity of Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her, and they were haughty. So fullness of bread is involved here. Fasting will help us not to become slaves to our appetites. It does bring the body under subjection. Number three, to stay punishment. We see this in the book of Jonah. Jonah 3:5 says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So in repentance, these pagan Gentiles proclaimed a fast and called out unto God in repentance. And God heard their prayers and withheld judgment upon the Ninevites. Yet God, you may fast and pray, and God may not stay the judgment that's coming. I'll give you an example. David had a baby by Bathsheba, didn't he? And part of his punishment was that this baby would die. What did David do? It says in 2 Samuel 12:16, says David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. Yet the child died anyway, didn't it? So fasting does not guarantee that God's going to do what you're seeking. Number four, to solve problems. To solve problems you may be facing in life. King Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast in Judea to deliver them from an invading army. Let me read that to you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. It says they came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Drop down to verse 22. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against them, against their enemies, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Verse 29, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the king called upon the subjects of Judea to fast and pray that God would deliver them from their enemies. Number five, to supply perception. To supply perception. Again, the church at Antioch needed some direction from God about sending out these missionaries. And the Holy Spirit showed them to send Barnabas and Saul. Acts 13:3, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So here's the church praying for their missionaries, for their mission work. One other, we should fast to send power, that God will send power upon us. I've mentioned this several times, but let me go ahead and mention it again. In Mark chapter 9, when Christ came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and his disciples who had stayed at the bottom of the mountain were approached by a man who had a son that was possessed of a demon. He asked these disciples to cast the demon out. They tried, but they couldn't do it. And if you look at verse 17, And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, the spirit takes him, he tears him, he foameth, he gnashes with his teeth, he pineth away. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. They could not. And you know, Jesus was able to cast the demon out. Later, the disciples came to him, verse 25. And after Jesus rebuked the foul spirit, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, enter no more into him. The spirit cried, rent sore, came out of him as he was one dead, in much that many said he is dead. And verse 28, the disciples said, Master, why couldn't we cast him out? I told you before, some demons are more powerful than others. You might be dealing with some demons that have a lot of power. When you're dealing with lost loved ones who are under the bondage of Satan, there may be a demon involved there that you're going to have to contend with to bring that loved one to Christ. And these, you're going to have to spend some time in prayer and fasting to have the power of God to deal with these. Amen? You want that power? Do you want to be an effective soul winner? Do you want to help free sinners from bondage to Satan? Doesn't come easy. You're going to have to spend some time in prayer and fasting to see this happen. So there are six reasons why you may want to fast and pray. But remember, it's always unto the Lord. Examine your motivation. Don't do it just to be seen of others, that others may brag on you, but do it when you need to seek God's face. Now, let me say this. I know some of you, it may not be safe for you to fast, health-wise. If you're diabetic, if you're pregnant, if you have some health condition, it may not be a wise thing for you to try to fast to any degree. But check with your doctor before. See what he has to say. But I think these last days are days of fasting. The days of feasting will come when Christ returns to take us to the marriage feast in the heaven. That's going to be some days of feasting. But right now, we're probably in some days of fasting. In these last days. Today, many are feasting physically and fasting spiritually. That's exactly the opposite of what we're talking about. Here's what I want to do. In 34 years, I've never called upon this church to fast. Never have. One reason is, like I said, I think it's between you and God. Just fasting because the preacher tells you to may not be the right thing. But here's what I thought about. I'm sure some of you have never done this. Now, you may be a fasted for losing weight, but you've never really fasted spiritually, as we've talked about tonight. The Lord expects us to. When you fast, here's what I want to do. This week, those of you who are able to do this, I want you to think about setting aside one day this week to fast. Not just from food, but dedicate one day to praying more, reading your Bible more. If you're going to watch television, watch faith-based programs. If you're going to listen to music, listen to gospel music. Do not feed the flesh in any way for one day. Now, I'm going to leave that between you and God. Whether you want to do that. Betty and I have talked this over, and we're going to do this Wednesday. So when I come Wednesday night, I'll look bad. You'll say, Brother West, what's wrong? No, just kidding, man. Seriously, this Wednesday, Betty and I are going to do a spiritual fast. And maybe Wednesday's not good for you, but if there's a day this week that you want to try to do this, then I think it would be good. Just to spend more time in prayer, Bible reading, witnessing, seeking God's face. If you can't go 24 hours because of some health needs, you might want to try a 12-hour fast. And don't go crazy. So Jesus fasted 40 days. I think I'll do that. No, I wouldn't. Thomas fasted once 9 days. That's the most I've ever heard anybody fasting. But 9 days of fasting. Now, I'm not asking you to do that. How much you lose? Were you doing it to lose weight?
No, sir. I needed God.
Okay. So we're not asking you to do that. But think about it. Pray about it. That maybe one day this week, if you've never fasted like we've talked about, you don't want to face God and say, well, I never did that. This might be a good time. So, brother, what should we pray for? Let's pray for our country. Let's spend a day of fasting and prayer for our country, for our leadership. Much of them need to get saved, don't they? Let's pray for our country. Pray for our leadership. Pray for our military. Pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for our church. Pray that great revival will break out here at Florence Street Baptist Church. How about praying for your family? Have you got some family members that are away from God? Maybe lost? Don't you think it might be good? Let's just spend a day prayer and fasting. Let's pray for our family. Let's spend some really extra time praying for family, for church, for country. Amen. It took me 34 years to do this, but I feel like the Lord has led me as your pastor to call upon you to think about this. And don't just do it for the praise of others. Do it because you think it would be good spiritually for you to seek God one day. Fast on the flesh, feast on the spirit.